7:45 a.m. Before we start, I'm going to appoint a new secretary since our existing secretary is absent. Commissioner DeBleek, are you willing to take on that role today?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mike, do we have him? Or?
He's on the line, but I don't know what's going on with the speaker.
Okay. You'll just hold him there?
That's what you would like.
If he's good with that, I'm good with that. Okay. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any changes to the agenda today? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from April 26th and bill payments in the amount of $500,000. General Manager Heron, anything on bill payments that we should look at today?
Thank you, Commissioner Manager. Bill payments are fairly routine, fairly standard, unless there's questions on it.
I look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. Next on the agenda, we'll look at our monthly financial reports. Ms. Precker.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. So starting with the electric, residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $55,000 from prior year. Expenses are down about $550,000 from prior year on this report. However, we did have a delayed payment on our WIPI contract that will show up on our April financial statements under purchase power. So if we factor in that, which was about $372,000, that would bring our expenses down about $178,000 from prior year for this quarter. And that would also leave our retained earnings up about $151,000 if we factor in that expense. We also pulled a comparison to first quarter 2019, kind of a pre-COVID look, just to see where we're at. Residential and commercial industrial revenues would be down about $862,000 from that time frame, first quarter of 2019. Total operating revenues down about $445,000. Expenses are down about $63,000, which leaves retained earnings up about $335,000. And then if we move on to water division, after we factor in a 20% rate increase for 2021, our residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $13,500 from where we would expect them to be. Expenses are up approximately $34,500 from the prior year, leaving our overall retained earnings up about $90,500 from prior year. When we look at water compared to the first quarter 2019, after we factor in that 20% rate increase for 2020 and 2021, our residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $109,000. Expenses are down about $37,000. And after factoring in those rate increases, that would leave our retained earnings down about $84,000 from that first quarter 2019. And when we compare that to all divisions, after factoring in that delayed expense in the electric, our overall retained earnings for March would be up about $242,000 from the prior year. And if we take that and compare it to first quarter 2019, our overall retained earnings are down about $66,000. And for the graphs, this is the comparison by month and also year to date for 2020 and 2021. And if there are no questions, we can move to the investment summary. There we see our month-end value is about $38 million. And in the notes that we add, you can see in March we had a deposit at Bremer and RBC, and a deposit in April we made to Heritage.
Andrea, just for clarification, the three sets of deposits there, those are new funds coming in, or were any of those transfers from other accounts that are listed here?
Those came out of our 4M checking, so it was not part of this total prior.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Got a couple more graphs there, or no, cost of power report.
All right, hello commissioners. As you can see with the cost of power for March 2021, we're at about 5 cents and 7 mil. One note that we wanted to make you aware of is that for February, as Andrea had mentioned, there was a delayed invoice, which we will see on next month's cost of power. So we just wanted to let you know that that next month in April should look a little higher than the trend that we're looking at right now.
Thank you. Any questions on that report? All right, thank you, Chris and Andrew.
Yep, thank you, Commissioners.
All right, next on the agenda, we have Mr. Smith with an approval for consulting services agreement.
Thank you, Commissioner Madden. So this consulting services agreement is for a design review of the power transformer that we're purchasing for the Wilmer substation. We are using the WMU template contract services agreement, so this is all our standard language in the first several pages. What I will point out is Exhibit 1, which is on page 14. This is the fee estimate for the services, and as stated, it's an estimate, so depending on what the actual work requires, this will likely go down but could potentially go up. The way we wrote this agreement is that we gave a 10% increase to that grand total of $41,630, and you can see then on Exhibit 3 of page 16 where the not to exceed amount is 10% higher than what you just saw in that fee estimate at $45,793. So he will bill us at his hourly rate, which again is listed on page 16, in addition to the travel cost there. So we are looking at this agreement, or I am proposing this agreement for design review services in addition to what DGR Engineering is doing for us. They don't have a strong expertise in actually purchasing big, large power transformers, and so up front they said, if you need help in this area, we will recommend that you use this consultant. And so that wasn't included in their original engineering services scope. GRE always does this design review for any transformers at 115 kV and above, and again, DGR recommends it. It reduces the possibility of non-conformance with the spec early on, so if we didn't do this, the manufacturer would still be obligated to meet our spec, but once they build the transformer and you identify the problem, then it's a much longer road to actually get delivery of the transformer to what you need. So they've found that doing this review up front pays off in the end. So that is what I'm proposing today. Any questions on that?
Jaron, have we used this firm before?
We have not used this before.
Okay.
To my knowledge, we haven't purchased a large power transformer like this in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
You said this consultant is recommended by GRE?
Yep, it's recommended by DGR.
DGR.
GRE actually is familiar with it, and they're supportive of it.
Additional questions? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval of the agreement.
So moved. Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner DeBleet?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
That carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to, we've got a few more bids for the Priam substation. Mr. Smith.
All right, thanks again. This is for the Priam substation, as mentioned. This is the first big purchase for that project. It's in three parts. The first part is the 115 kV circuit breakers. We received two quotes for this portion. The low quote was to Siemens in the amount of $151,290. These breakers actually match our existing breakers at the substation. We have good experience with those that we have in our fleet, and they come recommended by DGR. So I don't have any issues concurring with DGR's recommendation to award that that part to Siemens. DGR did say Siemens submitted their standard terms and conditions with this bid. I read through those. DGR read through those. We don't see anything concerning. It's standard things like payment terms, delivery terms, warranty, that type of thing. They do include something that's unique, and that's they do require insurance for the purchaser, but we reviewed those and they fall within the insurance that we already carry. Moving on to number two, the 115 group operated air brake switches. We received two quotes for this. The low quote was Southern States in the amount of $63,998. They are also the same manufacturer of the existing switches out at Priam. We don't have any issues with the Southern States equipment we have in our fleet, and DGR is also recommending them, so I concur with their recommendation. The last group there is the 115 capacitor voltage transformers. Again, two quotes on that one. The low quote was Resco in the amount of $22,744.80. And again, this matches the equipment that we have out at Priam. We don't have any issues with those that we have in our fleet, and DGR is recommending them, so I would concur with DGR's recommendation. We do list the bid tabs on the next few pages so you can see the competitive quotes there for other options. Any questions on these three items?
Any questions?
I have one. Maybe it's just it's too generic or not. But in regards to these quotes here, but with the supposed shortage of chips, does that delay any of these things or impact the costs there?
Everybody is submitting a COVID disclaimer with their bids, which basically says uncertain times, the price, delivery time, and whatever else is subject to change. They still give us a delivery date that meets our schedule. We're seeing it grow as time goes, but fortunately in this project we have a cushion there anyway. We're not really up against a short timeline. We're starting early in anticipation that there's going to be a longer time to get this equipment. So far we haven't seen any delays that are going to be a problem yet.
Other questions?
With Jared, with these as far as spare parts or repair parts for them, is that a concern at all?
We try to keep spare parts for those that we expect to need replacement, and we purchased the spare parts with the original order for the Priam substation in 2018, and since this is the same equipment, those spares will work in this, so we don't need spare parts in this order.
Okay. Further questions? Matt, we've got three bids that we're looking for resolutions on. The first one is the circuit breakers to Siemens Industry in the amount of $150,000 and change. I'm looking for a resolution for approval of that one.
I'll introduce that resolution.
Do I have a second?
Second.
A resolution and a second for approval of the circuit breakers to Siemens Industry for $151,292. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That resolution passes. I'd look for another resolution for approval of the group-operated air breaker switches to Southern State in the amount of $63,000 and change.
So moved.
Second.
A resolution and a second on the operated air breaker switches to Southern State. Any further discussion? Roll call there, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
That one passes. Thirdly, we're looking for a contract with Resco for capacitor voltage transformers in the amount of almost $23,000.
So moved.
Second.
I'll give the second to Commissioner Magnuson on that one. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye. That passes. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
All right, next we're looking for approval of the additional signer for CEDRA DWS Investment Services. Ms. Precker.
Yes, that's a resolution needed for me to kind of have access to that CETERA, which is the DWS investment account with Lake Region.
Have we recently, was this something that Denise was on previously? Okay.
Yes, we thought we had all the accounts updated, but as we were working on our accounts with DWS there, it came to surface that we have not updated our accounts to add Andrea. So it's Janelle and myself on the account, so along with adding Andrea, and Andrea will have access to it.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Commissioners, I'm looking for a resolution for approval of adding Ms. Precker as the additional signer for this contract.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and second discussion. Bison, roll please.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. Next, we've got our April 2021 wind turbine report. Mr. Marty.
Thank you, President Mattern. As you can see, both turbines had a good availability month. In April, 99.4 for number 3 and 99.5 for number 4. Total kilowatt hours for the month was 709,639. And rolling up to the next page, you can see how that number compares over the last 5 years. So total for the year to date, 2,525,517. Turbines have been working just fine recently. So,
very good. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the MRES annual meeting recap. General Manager, do you know, was Commissioner Johnson able to attend some of that?
Yes. Chair Mattern, I believe she attended till 3 o'clock, till afternoon break, or just the start of the business meeting.
Okay, great. So. Commissioner DeBleek, do you have any update for us that you want to provide?
It was an interesting meeting, so the one speaker that I thought was quite well was Wesley Clark. General Wesley Clark is a retired general. He's got a consulting agency right now, and he talked a lot about cybersecurity and security on the internet. Was quite good and quite impressive. He made some points about how vulnerable our systems could be to outside attack from various groups in various other countries that may have an interest in disrupting things here. So it was quite well done.
There isn't an accident. The pipelines are evident.
I see there was just over the weekend, we had a pipeline attack, and there were, was there some spyware or malware or something put on their servers, and they had shut the pipeline down that runs from Texas up into supplies gasoline to New York. So they're out there. I think we need to be vigilant and have our have everything in place. So, other than that, yeah, it was a good meeting. I did not stay for the business meeting. I think they just kind of asked that everybody that wasn't in the business meeting log off, so I never got back on after that.
Okay.
Right on?
Oh, thank you. To expand on that a little bit, which is not a surprise, but it was interesting to hear General Wesley Clark state that. He said there's a couple countries, China and Russia, that are envious of us and where we are at and our role in the world. So they have a focus of trying to hack in, as they were talking about cybersecurity, hack into our systems here to burn us down. So yeah, that was interesting. We opened it up. First one was Joy Ditto, president of APPA, and she talked about the five areas of focus that APPA provides support for all the members across the United States: advocacy, utility support, development of training and educational programs, new and information, national statistical data, and then promoting APPA. By statistics, public power is by far the most reliable when you compare it to the co-ops and the IOUs. We have the highest reliability rating out there. No dues increase for this year. Gas market, part of the problem, it's a deregulated market. Talked about what went on with Texas and affected basically the better part of the United States here this winter. Legislative update by Marty Kanner. Talked about COVID relief legislation as seen for big wins for the administration and congressional Democrats. Congress has approved earmarks. Biden's looking at his $2.5 trillion infrastructure initiative, which includes climate, energy, clean energy, broadband, tax incentives. So see where it goes. And year in review, I won't touch on that. It's 20 minutes long. We'll tee that up for next meeting. We'll just show the year in review, which highlights the accomplishments of Missouri River this past year. So we'll pass on that. Ray Walls talked about the vortex and what influenced why it happened and how Missouri River was positioned, how Missouri River actually came out of it quite well. Right now, Missouri River, being that they had excess energy at the time, depending on the settlements through SVP, but they're looking at somewhere around a $40 million gain out of this cold weather rule. So they had the generation, they had the fuel supply, they bid it in the market, everything was accepted, it all ran. So they're the beneficiaries of some of those high prices other utilities had to pay. So that number is still fluid. That number is still being audited. Settlements are still going through SPP, so that number could change. But at the end of the day, they're pretty confident they'll have a few million dollars benefit out of this polar vortex that went through. So that pretty much covers all the speakers, unless we had other staff on, unless I missed something that somebody else wants to touch on yet.
Karen, Mike, did you have anything you wanted to add? I saw you on the list. We're good there, Janelle? Kevin? Is that everybody that attended?
Yep, I think so.
All right. Thank you for those updates. And then next, we'll just move into the March and April updates for Missouri River as well.
With that said, I'll ask Mike to tee up the video. And if there's questions after the video, we'll field them.
Thank you, Chair Matter.
Welcome to our board report on the March and April meetings of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards and Directors. This is Member Services Representative Joey Peck. In April, the boards met in person for the first time since March 2020. Some board members still joined the meeting virtually. The majority met in a socially distant setting at a hotel near the Missouri River office in Sioux Falls. The office remains closed to the public, but the doors will likely reopen soon once Missouri River's workforce has had the opportunity to be vaccinated and no other issues restrict our opening. In March, the board received a detailed report on Missouri River's energy market operations in the Southwest Power Pool, or SPP, and the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO. Through its daily operations of selling generation into the markets and purchasing energy to meet member needs, Missouri River tries to maximize revenues and limit costs, all while managing risk. For example, power plants operated by Missouri River, along with the municipal generation of members, serve as assets to hedge high market prices and provide reliability support for the region. These and other power supply strategies were on full display during the polar vortex in mid-February, when generation failures, primarily in the southern United States, created an energy crisis throughout the entire Southwest power pool. Missouri River's power plants and member generators and SPP performed well during the crisis, and thanks to its proactive hedging strategies and member generation resources, Missouri River will not require any rate increases due to the high market prices caused by the polar vortex. Member-owned generation is a vital aspect of Missouri River's power supply mix. And during the March meeting, the Missouri River Board also approved changes to the Reserve Capacity Agreements, or RCAs, it has in place with 19 members for the use of approximately 153 megawatts of member-owned generation. The board also extended the RCA terms until 2052. The final version of the agreement will be sent to members for their consideration and approval. In further action, the board's authorized staff to amend two interest rate swap agreements currently in place with Citibank. A similar move was made a year ago in March 2020 that saved over $17 million, and the latest amendments provide another opportunity for Western Minnesota to lock in today's historically low interest rates and save an additional $3.8 million. In March, the boards also gave the go-ahead on a plan to work with Minnesota-based Great River Energy on a new substation that will serve current load needs and potential customer load expansion in the member community of Worthington, Minnesota. Western Minnesota will own the facility and construction will begin in May. When finished, it will interconnect with a 69 kilovolt transmission line that runs to an existing Worthington Public Utilities substation. An auditor's report kicked off the April meeting of the boards as representatives from Baker Tilly presented the Missouri River and Western Minnesota 2020 financial audit statements. The auditors issued a clean opinion with no adjustments, which is the best opinion possible. The boards accepted the report, which noted that the favorable ratio of debt to total capitalization and unrestricted cash on hand were contributing factors to the high bond rating of both agencies. Next, the boards reviewed and accepted the proposed schedule for strategic business issues. The schedule helps plan where the boards will discuss or take action on matters such as policy, power supply and water power, transmission, fiscal stability, legislative and regulatory issues, people, and member services. Due to social distancing recommendations still in place regarding large gatherings, the boards approved resolutions to hold this year's annual meeting via webinar. The annual meeting will be held May 5th, and a link to register is available on the events tab of Missouri River's website, mrenergy.com. As part of its commitment to creating a cleaner energy future, the Missouri River Board approved the purchase of 600,000 renewable energy certificates, or RECs. These RECs will be added to Missouri River's inventory for future use to meet renewable energy objectives in all four member states, and for voluntary use by members participating in the Bright Energy Choices Program. In further action, the board approved the deferral of the net margin from its generation during the February polar vortex. Missouri River projects a significant net margin from the generation it sold into the market during the energy crisis, but price disputes, inquiries, price adjustments by SPP, and/or possible litigation are expected. As a result, the board deferred approval of the net margin to account for potential changes to the initial settlements. Staff then updated the board on the progress made last year on Missouri River's performance indicators, which are 8 long-range strategic goals. The board accepted the report, which included actual results achieved in 2020 as well as 2021 performance targets. Finally, the Member Technology Committee recommended that the Missouri River Board approve a contract with Tyler Technologies for its customer information and billing software. The committee also recommended moving forward with a cybersecurity pilot project with 3 members. Board action on these 2 recommendations is expected in May. That wraps up our recap from the March and April board meetings. Thank you for watching, and we hope you all join us for our annual meeting on May 5th.
Anything further, General Manager Hahn?
Unless there's additional questions, Chair Matter.
We're all good on those updates. Excellent. I'll let you take us into the General Manager's report.
All right. Thank you, Chair Matter. In the packet for Chair Matter to execute will be our GRE construction agreement. It was approved by the board on March 8th. We finally received the copy that's ready for signing. So that'll be in the packet, so that's wrapped up as well. And you can watch for agree dates from Beth on our labor committee meeting, more than likely this week in the next day or two, and planning committee shortly thereafter, possibly next week. You can be looking for that. We do have our 90% design in on our water treatment plant, so we can review our water treatment plant design, status update, and pricing update. Due to what is going on out in the environment and inflation, we received our water treatment plant 90% design last week, Thursday it was. It was up $4 million from our 30% design 9 months ago. So we're sitting at $19 million right now. But with that said, we are doing our best to try and obtain some grant funding either at federal level or state level. So hopefully we can offset some of these increases with additional grant funding. That would conclude my update, unless there's additional questions.
No further questions. All right, is there anything else to come before the commission today? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.